Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Can we pray, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you this morning. Thank you that you are a shield about us, that you are our glory, and you are the lifter up of our heads. And thank you, Father, that whenever we come into your house and into your presence like this, we receive strength through your word. We receive wisdom and guidance. And if we apply the things that we hear and we walk by them, you make our lives beautiful and you make our lives glorious. I pray this morning, speak to us as you always do. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Give us deep knowledge and a deep insight into your word. Let us receive such wisdom, wisdom to be applied, that we'll be lifted up from where we are to a better place in our lives, in the name of Jesus. May we experience the victories that you have won for us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Bless everyone listening to me today, whether here in person or listening online. May your word come to strengthen, deliver, and encourage. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, amen. Say amen again. God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. And you're welcome to church this morning. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. And let us read from the New King James Version. It says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. There's a song we sing, "Thank You for the Cross." And we just want to worship the Lord for a minute or two. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and praise. Oh, worthy.
the Son of God,
Jesus, Son of God,
the treasure of heaven,
the treasure of heaven.
Worthy is the Lamb. God bless you. Thank you, ladies. You know, my friends, the main symbol of the Christian faith is not a church building. It is not a fish. Because during the early days of the church, that was a symbol that the believers then used to use. But really, if we are talking about a universal symbol of the Christian faith, it is not a fish. It is not a dove. All right? Neither is it the communion, bread and wine. These are not the main symbols of the Christian faith. It is not the manger where Jesus was born. That's not a symbol of the faith. It is not the empty tomb, the tomb where he was laid and where he resurrected from. None of these things that I have mentioned are the symbols of the Christian faith. I want you to understand that the central symbol and the major symbol of the Christian faith is what? Say that again. Say that again. Hallelujah. It is the cross. And because the cross is what symbolically represents our faith, it is important that every child of God understands what the cross represents and the implication it has on us. Can I have an amen? On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. He defeated death and the power of the enemy. And what he overcame there on the cross has become the basis for our victory as believers and as Christians. And what it is that if we do not fully understand this and grasp it, we are going to go through life shortchanged. And all the things, or some of the things that are supposed to be ours, we will not end up enjoying them. Can I have an amen? So let me give you an illustration to explain this. Now, let's say you owe somebody a lot of money and it is obvious that you cannot pay what you owe. So let's say you owe somebody 1 million Ghana cedis. What did you go and do to owe so much? And you are trying to pay every month 100 Ghana cedis. Do you know how long it will take for you to finish paying up? That's about 833 years. So it is obvious that what you owe, you cannot finish settling it. Then imagine that somebody, a wealthy benefactor, a wealthy person just comes and pays the entire debt. May God help you pay your debts in Jesus. The person pays up and a receipt is issued, and on the receipt there is a big stamp, paid, fixed on it, to indicate that your debts have fully been paid. But If you do not fully understand that your debts have been paid, you will continue to live your life in fear, under a lot of stress, still trying very hard to pay what you know you will never be able to finish paying. And this will be happening not because the debt has not been settled, but it is because you do not fully understand what has been done for you. How many can understand this illustration? And that is what it is with this whole Christian experience. If we do not understand what Jesus has done for us, the price he's paid for us, the victories he's won for us on the cross, we're just going to continue to move through this Christian life without benefiting from all the great things that he has achieved for us through that resounding victory that he won on the cross. And that is why, as your pastor, particularly during this Easter season, I find it my responsibility to share these things with you and to help you to grasp and gain a deep insight and knowledge and understanding of what Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. I think that it is a very sad thing when there's so much you can have and enjoy, but you are not enjoying them because you don't understand what is actually going on around you. I remember a couple of years ago, my elder brother invited me to have breakfast with him at the Movenpick Hotel, very expensive place. Okay, and this was a buffet and a lot of food, breakfast things. But sometimes they know that Ghanaians usually like to go heavy. So apart from the usual bread and tea and all of those things, a lot of rice and chicken and what have you. As we sat at table having breakfast, I noticed that a gentleman was returning to his seat from the table where the food was set up. And I almost fainted when I saw his plate. Do you know what was on his plate? Bread. The guy has gone to take a lot of bread. Bread of life, you see. And I said to myself, what is this guy doing? Because by the time he finishes eating up all the bread, there will be no space for all the wonderful, sumptuous food that have been made available for him. It's just a kabona. And I don't know what was going on in his mind. I don't know whether he has come from a very far away place. I don't know what it is. Or maybe it's the bread that he's familiar with. And the other things, he was not sure what it was. You see, I use the word shortchanged. And what it simply means, that something that you can have, you don't have it. You know, you don't enjoy it. Certain good things that could have come your way, you can end up not having them because you don't really understand what is going on. And there's a reason why the emphasis in this church is to teach you the word of God. We can do gimmicks if that's what you're looking for. But that's not the emphasis of this church. And I'll explain it to you by giving you another illustration. Let's say you're somebody who keeps coming to me, asking me, Pastor, oh, can you give me a little money? I'm hot and everything. And then I give you, when you come, how much should I give you? How much do you think a pastor should give to somebody? Hey, what's in there? 1,000, 2,000. It doesn't mean who says nipada. Obaya buy na meyi 1,000, 200. Oh, I'll give you 100 cedis. But let's say we get to a place where, when you come, I refuse to give you the 100 Ghana cedis. Isa, when the guy says Isa, I refuse to give you the 100 Ghana cedis, and then I explain to you that I want to now help you to start something on your own that will earn you a lot of money. Every month, at least, you get 10,000 Ghana cedis. Which is better? The second one, is that not so? Yeah, but you know that there are some people who will not take it. Because they are always thinking of what they can get here and now. Always thinking of immediate. And what you have to do to be able to access 10,000 Ghana cedis a month will involve a lot of discipline, a lot of patience, a lot of hard work. But sometimes people don't want that. And this is one of the problems with today's generation. What do you call yourselves again? Gen Z. Or you have moved from Gen Z to somewhere else. Eh? Eh? Gen X. You have moved from Z to X. Alpha. Gen Z to Alpha. Because Z is the last letter of the alphabet. So they are starting all over again. Eh? That's the problem with today's generation. They want everything quick, 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 quick. Yeah. Time no date. But I can tell you that that kind of posture will not take you very far in this life. And that is why we try to share things with you, to teach you things. Last week Sunday, I started sharing with you about the victories of the cross. And there's a reason why I'm sharing this message with you. Because there are victories and there are benefits that Jesus has won for us through his suffering and his sacrifice on the cross. And today I want to press on. If I don't finish, time is far advanced. I'll continue next week. But let's quickly run through what I shared with you. What is the first victory that I shared with you, if you can remember? Forgiveness of sins. Is that not so? Yeah. That the first victory that we experience as a result of the cross of Jesus is forgiveness of sins. And I think I explained to you that the greatest problem of the human race is sin. That's our greatest problem. And it's a problem that no human being could ever solve. Because we did not have what it takes to solve that problem. And that is why Jesus was sent to die for us and to pay the price for our sins. Why was this necessary? Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So when you accept the sacrifice of Jesus and you receive him as your Lord, what that does for you is that it guarantees that your sins are forgiven. Somebody say, my sins are forgiven. Your guilt is removed. Somebody say, my guilt is removed. Your record is cleared. Somebody say, my record is cleared. And the penalty that should have come to you is canceled. Somebody say, the penalty is canceled. Hallelujah. So through the cross and through that victory that Jesus won for us on the cross, it means that we are forgiven fully, completely, and permanently. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the first victory of the cross. And may I also explain to you that this forgiveness thing is not just a feeling. It's a fact. Alright? Because there are times when, as a believer, you can begin to doubt and question whether God has really forgiven me. And let me also explain that the work, the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, it's so powerful and far-reaching that not only does it take care of your past, sins of the past, but it has the power to take care of any present sins that you may have. and it has the power to address every sin of the future. And that's why we explain to people, we are not giving you the license to do anything and to play the fool. But what we are saying is that if you stumble, if you miss it, if you get it wrong, don't hesitate. Run to the mercy seat of God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's like the sin problem has been sorted out. The past, the present, and the future. And Jesus will not need to come again to die for your present sins and your future sins. What he did was once and for all, guaranteeing that if you are a child of God and you've come under the grace of God and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that sin problem is settled once and for all. That is the first victory of the cross. And can you clap your hands and celebrate this victory in Jesus' mighty name? Then what's the second victory I shared with you? Justification. Everybody say justification. And I explained to you that to be justified means to be declared not guilty or to be declared righteous. So when Jesus shed his precious blood and died on the cross, it actually paved the way for you and I to be justified by God. And once you accept the sacrifice, the cross of Jesus becomes God's legal declaration concerning you, that every case that there is against you is closed and that you are now righteous. So the Bible says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then the third victory I shared with you, reconciliation. Hallelujah. And this reconciliation means peace with God. To reconcile simply means to restore a broken relationship back to peace and harmony. To restore a broken relationship back to peace and harmony. You must understand, my friend, that there was a very beautiful relationship that God had with the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. And I can just imagine how God used to visit them in that beautiful garden called Eden, to sit with them, talk to them, fellowship with them, chat with them. I can just picture them asking God all kinds of questions. I can imagine God laughing with them. I can imagine God teasing them. What I'm trying to paint for you is a picture of a beautiful relationship. Peaceful one, harmonious one. And that, I believe, is what it was at the very beginning. Until sin came into the picture. And one of the effects of the disobedience and the sin of Adam and Eve is that it destroyed that beautiful relationship that God had with them. And God had to actually drag them out of the garden. I can imagine how pained God was when he was sacking them from the garden. And they had to go because they could no longer stay there. It was going to lead to more problems. And so because of their rebellion, a beautiful relationship was destroyed. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross, and he became that mediator between God and man, to reconcile us, to patch up that relationship that was damaged, to bring it together and to put it together again. And it is another of the major victories of the cross that you and I have received. And I'm announcing to you, my friend, that because you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, it means that your relationship with God is a good one. It is not based on you, it is based on what Christ has done. And I want to announce to you today that God is not against you. God is for you. In fact, God is for you. God is with you. And God is in you. That is a winsome combination. And I declare that it shall be well with you and everything will work out well for you because you have been reconciled with God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. This will now bring us to the fourth major victory that we can enjoy because of the cross and because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Victory number four, redemption from the curse of the law. Redemption from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Redemption from the curse of the law. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Take note of the first part of the scripture. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the Lord. Somebody say with me, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Say it one more time. From the curse of the law. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed. You've seen that word there again, redeemed. With corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention to that statement we read in the first scripture, the very first sentence. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let me try and explain this to you. Now, to redeem means to buy back. To buy back. That's what it means, to redeem. It means to buy back. And the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's focus on the word curse, if you like. You see, according to the Bible, a curse is a pronouncement of judgment that results in suffering, frustration, limitation, or separation from God's blessings. I'll take it again. A curse is a pronouncement of judgment that results in suffering, frustration, limitation, or separation from God's blessing. So a curse is when God's favor is withdrawn. A curse is when the consequences of sin are activated. And a curse is a life that is full of pain instead of fruitfulness. That's what a curse is. So you can see from these definitions that a curse is the opposite of a blessing. Amen. Now, one of the bad things that happened when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden was that it brought a curse upon them as well as on all of the human race. There is a reason why God, when he appeared on the scene and he queried them on what had happened, he said to them that, what is this that you have done? What is this that you have done? Because a lot of terrible things were unleashed on humanity because of their disobedience. And one of the consequences of their sin was that instead of the blessing that God had created them for, they now came under all kinds of curses. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Genesis 3, 16 to 19. So to the woman, God said, so now this is the case. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. That means that your pregnancy, giving birth and all of that will come with a lot of pain and sorrow. Sisters, I am sorry. Hey, yeah. Yeah. In pain, you shall bring forth children. What that should tell you is that that was not how it was supposed to be in the beginning. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And just say, mube ble. Mube aden. Mube ble. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. You eat grass. Then he continues and says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So you will eat, but you will suffer. You will struggle. You will hustle before you eat. Yeah, yeah. The guy was eating the bread at the yes. Yes. Not easy. And he said to him, for out of it, out of the ground you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Ladies and gentlemen, these bad things that I just read to you have to do with the curses that came upon humanity because of the sin of the first man and the first woman. And it meant that because of their disobedience and rebellion, they were now under bondage. Under bondage to fear. Under bondage to frustration. Under bondage of fighting hard but things not working well for you. Under bondage of suffering and struggling before anything will work out well for you. And the reason for all the struggles we go through in this life is because we came under a curse because of Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve. But you see, there are more details of what a curse is. Because later on, when God, through Moses, gave to the people of Israel the law, which defined the terms of the covenant that he was going to have with them, he explained to them certain things. And out of what he told them, we can see the consequences, some more consequences of sin and rebellion. So if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 to 22, Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 22, New Living Translation, this is what it says. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today. So it is describing disobedience. He said, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. That anything that you do, it won't go well. It will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do, until at last you are completely destroyed for being evil and for abandoning me. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. You know, I think I'm getting depressed. So let me just finish. Yeah, it's very depressing. And the list there is very, very long. Yeah. Now, these curses are what the Bible is referring to as the curse of the law. And it actually describes the consequences of sin and disobedience. Very intense and very severe. And God wanted to do something about it, which is why he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins, so that we can be redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. How many are grateful that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law? So when Jesus died on the cross, he took our curses upon himself and was made a curse for us. And not just that, but he also paid for our redemption, because we were now under bondage to Satan, to fear, to frustration, to confusion, to sin, and to death. We were slaves. That was not how God planned it. That was not God's intention from the beginning. But sin made all of us slaves. But now God loves us, and he needed to get us back from slavery. So Jesus came, gave his life, shed his blood, died on the cross to redeem us from slavery, from bondage, and from captivity. Hallelujah. And that is why I'm explaining to you that by the grace of God and by the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, you and I, if we have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You are free. I said you are free. But if you don't understand and embrace this freedom, even though you have been set free, you will not enjoy that freedom and the benefits of that freedom. I've used this illustration for you before, where a goat that has been tied to a stake for a long time, for many, many years, a time can come where you will release it, but the goat will just stay around that stake because it has become used to it and does not understand that what tied it down, or what used to restrict it and confine it, had been taken away from it. And that's what can happen to a lot of Christians. I want you to believe it, that you are no longer a slave to fear. You are no longer a slave to frustration and disappointments. And today I declare over your life, may every negative pattern that you see in your life and in your family, by the redemptive work of the blood of Jesus, by the redemptive work of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I declare that every negative pattern over your life is broken. Somebody shout and say, it is broken. Say it again, it is broken. Say again, it is broken. And when I say the thing, respond and say, it is broken. Your frustration, the negative pattern, chronic poverty, addictions, constant setbacks, struggling too hard before you eat, confusion, fear, bad marriage, people marrying in your family but always coming out of the marriage, childlessness, not enjoying the good things of this life, shout again and say, it is broken. Hallelujah. And I want you to believe that. I want you to believe this with all your heart. Because some of you, a struggle is not easy. The struggle is not easy at all. But I want to say to you, my friends, that Christ has redeemed us. And anything that you see in your life that is a negative trend, don't accept it. Reject it. Because sometimes you look at your family and you see a certain pattern. People don't amount to anything. People don't make it. People don't succeed. People don't achieve much. People don't rise high. People don't go to school and complete. People are always getting pregnant before they marry. I mean, people never prosper. People never rise to any height. Have you noticed that there are some families, when you look into the family, you see story of success after success after success. You see greatness, achievement, accomplishment. Then when you come and you look at your own, you look at your own issues, problems, disappointments, confusion, frustration. But I say to you today, if you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, anything like that which is a negativity, that power of that thing is broken and it is illegal in your life. Receive the ability to reject every illegality in your life. Receive the strength and the ability to reject every negativity in your life. And may you step and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. I'm announcing to you that you are no longer bound. You are free in Jesus' mighty name. May a new story start with you in your family. Listen, because of you, the story of your family is changing. Because of you, the negativity in your family is going away. Because of you, a certain vicious cycle is breaking in your family. God is starting a new generation, and He's starting with you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We will continue next week, but I just want you to thank the Lord right now. Thank the Lord. Give Him thanks. Thank the Lord for His word. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for redeeming you from the curse of the law. Thank Him that the curse is broken and we are escaped. Give Him thanks and give Him praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, the curse is broken. It is broken. Thank the Lord that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. Anything that is not working in your life is a negativity, is an illegality. Decide that you're not going to accept it anymore. Every addiction, every setback, every chronic problem of your life, reject it today in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Father, we thank you and we bless your name for today. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, as we get ready to close the service, you want to say, Pastor, I've been touched by the word of God. Let me be quick to explain to you, my friend, that what breaks you from prison and bondage and captivity is when you accept the sacrificial work of Jesus on the cross and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is what sets you free. Till you've done that, you are still under bondage and captivity. But today you have an opportunity to break out of prison. You have the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray with you today that you will open your heart and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The opportunity is right before you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can you lift up your right hand wherever you are? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Perhaps you are watching us. You are watching us right now. You are online and you are watching us. I can't see you, obviously. But God is right there with you. He can see you. And he can touch you right where you are. Only lift up your hand where you are in your room. And he's going to visit you in a very powerful way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted up your hand, I need you to do one more thing for me. Usually, I don't do that, but I want to do that today. If you've lifted up your hand, I need you to do one more thing for me. I want you to move from your chair and come and meet me in front now. Come. If you lifted your hand, walk boldly, shamelessly to the front as I pray with you. God bless you. Clap your hands for them as they come. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. Come to him. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my friends. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's a prayer that I prayed myself some years ago when I was also a young boy. I was 18 years old when somebody invited me to church and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure you are getting there if you are not already there. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. All you need to do is to pray this prayer with faith and believe it in your heart. And miraculously, after praying that prayer, a great miracle will take place inside of you. It's not a physical one. It happens in your spirit, but with time, it manifests in the flesh. Can you pray this prayer with me and let everybody join in the prayer? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to die for me. And because of your death, I have great victories. From today, I step into the victories of the cross. And I know that my life will never be the same again. Please write my name in the book of life. I am saved. I am saved. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.